Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 45, Everything Counts.
And welcome back to Color Country Politics. I'm Jenny Hendricks.
And I'm Jesse Harris.
And we are really excited today. We've got something new for you. We have Iron County Commissioner Mike Blake and Cedar City Councilman Scott Phillips. And we've invited these guys on to talk about the 2020 census, which is coming up. There's a lot of misinformation, I want to say.
A lot of information
that we need to know. And these guys are the experts. They have been tasked with kind of getting the 2020 census through Iron County and Cedar City. So Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks really for having me.
Thank you very much.
So let's start out with just some of the history. What is the census? Why do we have a census? Who cares about the census?
Good question. Who cares about it,
Who
right?
Cares?
The census has been around since 1790.
Wow.
It's part of the U.S. Constitution. And Congress has mandated that every 10 years, America sort of take record of itself. We stop and we analyze and say, okay, if we're going to be a government by the people, for the people, of the people, we've got to have proper representation. So they want to make sure and know how many people are residing in this country at any given time. And they've set this year, it is April 1st is the National Census Day. And we had a joke about this, and Commissioner May, we said, why did you pick April Fool's Day to start? Because it is not a joke. It is real. But that is the date. Now, that's not to say that they haven't already started doing some census work, and things are starting to roll out already. People will receive in the next, week to 10 days. The U.S. Census Bureau is rolling out about 133 million letters to every household in America. So it's terribly important that we do it and all the programs it affects, and we can talk about that. But that's kind of why there is a census and why the government established it.
Okay. 1790.
It was one of the founding fathers recognized, I think they had the foresight to know that the country would grow and that there needed to be an equitable way to distribute power in the country, and I don't know if they were able to foresee all of the things that it would affect and all of the different government programs. We like to, in state and local government, we like to be autonomous. We really like to maintain control, right? Mm-hmm. And, on the county level, the more county level control that we have from the state, the better. We know that we can kind of govern our our constituents and govern our neighbors better than the state and the federal government can. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, we really are reliant on the federal government for many things that we're never going to be able to get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Fully.
Right. Yeah.
There are so many programs that are funded through the federal government that are imperative to the way that we live.
So talk a little bit about, if we agree that there is a constitutional requirement for counting, and if we agree that in Iron County and Cedar City, we do receive state and federal resources, where does that intersect? Why is that a question of resources versus counting people in the
census? Well, I think sometimes, as the commissioner alluded to, there is a sense of uneasiness on some people's part about trusting the federal government. And so we're trying to set this aside and say, look, this is not a political issue, no matter what side of the spectrum you're on. This is a way for us to take check of who we are and where we are. And it's terribly crucial because it affects everything from transportation and road projects, school programs, SNAP, the supplemental nutrition programs, CHIP, the children's insurance program, Medicare, Medicaid. I mean, it goes across the board. There's hundreds of programs that it affects. And in the last census count in 2010, it is estimated that Utah was undercounted by 25%.
Wow.
Now that's hundreds of thousands of people that were not counted for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it is estimated that for every person not counted, it is $1,866 per person per year.
Wow.
So that over 10 years times hundreds of thousands of people, that's tens of millions of dollars that we were entitled to as a state
mm-hmm.
and as a county, but we didn't get them.
Right.
So that's why we're trying to get a complete count of Iron County. And it allows us to do all sorts of things. They do not believe that in 2020, population will be enough to get another congressional seat
mm-hmm.
in Utah. But we are edging that much closer to
right.
getting another one for more representation
mm-hmm.
for our state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just on many levels, it's so, so important.
And I think Scott brought up the point of the representation at the federal government level is so important. You know, as we sit right now, the state of Utah has three congressional seats. And when you look at, you know, other states with greater population who have so many more congressional seats
mm-hmm.
that can actually represent the needs and will of their constituents, you know, if Utah, you know, we're right on the cusp of that fourth congressional seat.
Yeah. Wait, we
Fifth.
Excuse
yeah.
me.
Fifth.
Fifth.
Fifth. I was going to say
yes.
Rob Bishop or
right.
Chris Stewart or
yes.
no.
Ben Gavins or
John
Curtis might disagree.
No, and as soon as I said three, I left out Ben McAdams.
Yeah.
Because in my realm in county government, especially in rural county government,
mm-hmm.
those are kind of the people that I work with is,
yeah, sure.
is the rural side. I work with the rural side a
yeah.
lot more than we do the urban side.
Right.
And so Congressman McAdams, if you by chance watch this, I apologize for leaving you out.
Which if he's
the
not
fray.
Watching, he should be. Everybody
he should be.
Should.
Everyone. You can make it up to him with bacon.
You can. And I've met Congressman McAdams in his office. He's
sure.
a very nice man and
yeah.
very reasonable, and I think he's an asset to our state.
Okay.
So, but the point is so is Chris Stewart,
mm-hmm.
so is Rob Bishop, so is John Curtis.
Right.
Yeah. No,
and that fifth guy, if
yeah.
that comes down to a census count, is going to be very crucial.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that we as Utahns have a voice on the national level.
And Utah is one of the fewer states that is growing. There's
yeah,
a lot
absolutely.
Of states that are losing population,
right.
but we tend to have more children. And then, of course, we're getting a lot of move-in
right.
people, too. So
yeah.
So let's, I mean, if it's okay, let's talk about the actual sort of logistics of how this is
okay.
going to roll out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Starting on March 12th, so just like right now,
mm-hmm.
through about the 25th or 26th, these letters will start rolling out to all of these households in America. And for the first time in 2020, the census can be done online, by telephone, or through a paper questionnaire. And the Census Bureau has sort of identified areas of the country already where they believe there to be strong internet connectivity, and they will be asked and requested. There will be a special code that every household will have, and that allows you to log on and post in your census information. Or if you would choose, you can do it by telephone, or you can wait and you can get a paper questionnaire. Because there's a lot of older people we know that
mm-hmm.
may not feel comfortable,
mm-hmm.
or even people that have security issues
mm-hmm.
that don't feel comfortable about
mm-hmm.
online submissions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Census Bureau recognizes
mm-hmm.
that. So I think that allows then it for to happen. So if you respond on about April 1st, because that's the national rollout day, they're going to give about 2 weeks. After about the 14th of April, if you haven't responded, then you will get a follow-up postcard. Then you will get a follow-up letter. Then you will get another follow-up postcard. On about May 8th, May 12th, along in there, then they will start deploying out the census takers and knocking on your doors
mm-hmm.
to secure more information. And it's also said that if you go online, you need to complete the census at that time. You can't partially complete it and then come back to it.
What information are we going to be asked?
I knew that
to
question
get.
Was going to come up, right?
Yes.
Well, first of all, let me just say that if it's only about 10 questions.
Okay.
They're going to ask how many people reside in your home in that dwelling at that time, and that can be nieces, uncles, aunts, and don't forget to count your little ones. For some reason, one of the most highly undercounted numbers is children between 0 and 4 years of age. Now, why you would forget to put your baby in there,
right.
I don't know. That's a pretty important addition for tax purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they will ask that. They will ask the sexes of those people living in your area. They will ask the ages. They will ask ethnicity and race. But they will not ask citizenship. Mm-hmm. It was a requirement or a request of some of the people in the current administration, but that has not happened, so it will not be on there. I know there's a lot of fear from people about citizenship. And while we're on that, the U.S. Census Bureau is a secure entity of the government. That information is not shared with the FBI. It is not shared with ICE. It is not shared with the CIA. And it is sealed for 72 years.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Is it shared with the IRS?
No.
Another interesting thing is with every employee of the census, and it was interesting, last week I was in Washington, D.C. and actually met with the director of the Census Bureau and some other people.
He met with the big guns.
In that agency, and they reiterated numerous times that everybody that becomes an employee of the census, and if we don't talk about employment opportunities,
we need to
here in a few minutes, but every employee of the census takes an oath upon their employment to keep everything completely confidential. Breaking that oath is a penalty of 15 months in federal prison and a $250,000 fine.
So they're not screwing around.
But they have committed to prosecute rigorously if there is a breach in that security.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, from the college kid that works part-time helping the census to the director of the census takes that oath and is subject to those penalties if they break that oath.
Interesting.
And another thing along those same lines, to show you how serious they are about the security side of it, anyone who actually has been hired to be an enumerator, a census taker, a manager in an area, in addition to taking this oath, the U.S. Census Bureau and Utah have created a different brand and a logo for the census. And while the enumerators will have a similar design on their ID badges, we don't even know what those are yet because they are so worried about copycatters.
Yeah.
That will not be issued until, I believe, 48 hours or something like that before this process begins. And they will be fully identified if they come to your door. And along those security lines, this is so important that people understand, they should never ask for Social Security information. They should never ask for your political party affiliation. They will never ask for money or charity contributions. And they will never ask for banking information. If they do, you shut the door on them and you call local or federal officials, because they are not representing the United States Census Bureau.
Interesting.
It is that serious.
You know, and I can see an opportunity out there for fraudulent actors
well,
to come in.
And we've already seen that. On my, you know, I moonlight on the side in the police world a little bit still. And we've actually had reports of people calling in and asking, okay, I had a call. They said they were from the U.S. Census and they asked me for my Social Security information, my banking information. And people need to understand that if that occurs, call the police immediately, report that.
Yep.
I mean, it's very serious, and actual census takers will have a census ID.
Yep.
They'll also have some kind of a satchel,
yep,
or bag,
yep,
that with that logo on it, and they'll have a handheld
electronic device to input it.
And so, if they don't have the satchel, and I don't know exactly what that looks like, the official identification, I assume that will have a picture on it. I would think.
Uh-huh.
And a handheld device linked to the census, they're not set.
So no one should expect to be contacted on the phone from a census worker.
No, unless you have called on the telephone, and then someone will assist you with that operation. And here in Cedar City, working with the state office of the census, we're going to have a couple of opportunities for multiple question answering, MQAs, they call them. And we'll do one in the city offices here in Cedar City.
Okay.
And we're setting one up at Southern Utah University, because student populations is another very important thing. Mm-hmm. But for people that are struggling or uneasy about it, there will be someone sitting there, again, an official with the proper identification, assisting you, answering questions to help you if you wish help in this.
Okay.
And we might also say that the census is going to be translated into 12 languages almost immediately. If you're doing it online and you type in Arabic, for example, or you type in Spanish and hit it, boom, all the forms will come up in that language. If your language is not represented in those 12 major languages, there's another, I think, 59 languages it can be translated into for people who, you know, whatever it is.
And I think one thing to clarify and to put out there, you know, we've talked about these different dates. And we've talked about April 1st being the census date. So the information provided will be, what the necessary information is who lays their head in your residence on April 1st. And so there's a question about, especially with university students who are here and then they leave. So a lot of times there's a question, are they counted here? Are they counted back in their homes? They're counted where they spend the majority of the year, and specifically where they are on April 1st. And we have a large student population, and they're included in the in the more difficult population to count. That's really important that we count those students here at SUU, because as you go back to some of those programs, the number of Pell Grants that are supplied, the number of federal dollars for student loans and different grant programs rely on that census at that university. And so they directly benefit, and some of the funding for the university that can translate over into tuition costs and things like that are directly affected by that student population. And so it's really important that we count the SUU students that are here on April 1st. And they don't get out of school until about April 23rd. And so the students need to be counted.
We've got to make sure it gets done.
So that brings up something that I know you wanted to talk about, is people who are historically
undercounted.
The student population is among those.
Yes.
Who else is part of that 25%?
Well, there's a lot of the racial and ethnic minorities get fearful. And so it's hard for us to, sometimes there's language barriers or transitional housing areas and it's hard to get past that. The homeless people. I mean, how do you count someone where you don't even know where they are? And I know the Bureau has been working for months and months and months trying to identify pockets where they believe a lot of homeless people might gather, and there is a very specific team that will be going out trying to meet with those people and find them and get them counted. I mean, it is an issue here, but I mean, you look at communities like Portland and San Francisco and San Diego. I mean, they're enormous homeless populations. Los Angeles, lower income persons, obviously, LGBTQ type individuals. They've got people with disabilities. And again, like I said, the young children. The young children are always hard. And people got to remember to count them. And then in our area, we're concerned a lot about the rural western part of our state, specifically about some of those fundamentalist groups, some of the survivalist people out there, some of the more rugged individuals, you want to say, independent thinkers.
Well, I think
you got to be rugged to live in Burl.
There is a certain a number of people here, there's a certain population here that lives off the grid on purpose. They don't want to be found. They don't want to be counted, and that's why they go to these more rural areas.
And yet those people, when tragedy strikes are going to be using our hospitals, mm-hmm. our ambulance services, our roads, mm-hmm. our garbage collection, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And they all affect our ability to get proper funding for those kinds of services.
Right.
Right. You know, and I want to speak specifically to to the fundamentalist FLDS
mm-hmm.
church.
Mm-hmm.
We have, since kind of the dissolution of Colorado City and that area, we have a huge influx of those folks in our community.
Yeah.
And I know that made a lot of people nervous.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, both in county government and in law enforcement, they've been a benefit to our community. They're hardworking,
yeah.
they're friendly, they're kind. But it's interesting, I spoke with several individuals kind of on a zoning issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it was put to me was really interesting. They said, you know what? We're not used to living in society.
Right. Right.
We're used to having our own kind of little form of government. Mm-hmm. We're really trying to comply with the rules and the regulations and to assimilate into society, but we struggle because we don't know how.
That is an interesting point.
It
I've
is.
Seen it on the rental side and also on the real estate purchasing side. It is something that population has never been exposed to
before.
Right.
And so they're really on a steep learning curve.
Yeah. They are.
But as residents of this area, when you're talking about the census, like you were just saying, they're driving on the road. All of us are driving on the roads. All
yeah.
of us are using
right.
all of the resources.
Yeah.
And so we do need to reach out and make sure
all
of the residents are counted.
And it's really important that we count all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we count. And it's, I think that's a good place to remind them that this information is absolutely confidential.
Yeah.
It cannot be accessed by law enforcement. It cannot be accessed by tax collectors.
Are you sure? Like, are you really, really sure?
We're pretty sure.
We're pretty sure. They have hammered that into our heads and over and over and over again.
If you're a conspiracy theorist, it might be a different story. But we're pretty sure.
Okay.
And you know what? Especially working closely with the government,
yeah.
I don't trust the government 100%.
Yeah.
But these census people seem to be on the up and up.
Okay.
you heard
it here.
They have really taken heart the original legislation back to 1790, and I think they're really in their in all of their worlds with all of the changes in our world are trying to be true to that idea of to get an accurate count of the people residing here.
Mm-hmm.
And as Commissioner alluded to, on April 1st, that's the magic date because they're separated couples that
mm-hmm.
may have custody of a child on this day and custody of a child on this day.
Right.
It's where that child is in that household on April 1st.
Okay.
And I think that the Bureau has a pretty good way of handling students that are in dormitories and things like that. My biggest concern is all of those hundreds and hundreds of students that live in rental housing
yeah.
throughout town. They're not mm-hmm. the property owner, but it will come to that household. But they think, oh, this doesn't apply to me
uh-huh.
because I'm a student, and so it probably goes to the guy in California that owns my house. No, you're living here. You're in Cedar City. You need to fill out that census questionnaire. Go online and do it. You're young. You know how to do that. It won't be a problem, right? So that's that kind of thing. I would say to the employment side of things now, if someone wants a part-time job, they are still looking for census takers, enumerators, they call them. And in our region, it's paying $16 an hour.
Wow.
Which is a pretty good part-time job.
Yeah.
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 So they can go online at 2020census.gov, and they can look at it and look at jobs and apply.
Okay.
When I last checked with the state official last week in our area, they were 100% applicant full.
Okay.
But they had only hired 89% of the employees.
Okay.
So they still had more people to hire.
Interesting.
And for whatever reason, the applicant pool wasn't meeting their expectations. So I would say to anyone, there's still time. And you will start out, like we were saying, around first. And the census in our area has to be completed by the end of July 31st.
Okay.
Because then the Bureau has to take the time to analyze all the information, tally all the information, get it checked, because they have to report to Congress. in December of this year.
Okay.
The 2020 census is X
mm-hmm.
for this year.
Right.
So that's kind of the timeline on when things have to happen.
Interesting.
So it's be a good job.
And those jobs, I mean, they start at $16 an hour,
yeah.
but they're very flexible. I
sure.
mean, you,
yeah.
I don't know exactly what they look like, but you work on your own time and,
uh-huh.
and around your own schedule. So I think it's a great thing for students
uh-huh.
or retired folks that,
yeah.
that need to get out of the house
uh-huh.
a
yeah.
little bit, maybe, you know, earn a little bit of money on the side.
And I know there's been some concern expressed about safety of these people. And I also know that on the county level, if we anticipate that there's going to be some issues, we're working with the Bureau to try and say, okay, if you're going out in this area, we'll make sure that the appropriate law enforcement
yeah.
is there
uh-huh.
to assist. So there is no issues.
Right.
I mean, you can never guarantee 100%, but they're going to be there to help protect.
I think that's important.
These people.
You know,
yeah.
I brought that
yeah.
question up last
yeah.
week to the Census Bureau, knowing that we have Western Iron Camp.
Yeah, absolutely. There are people who do not want to be found.
And they indicated that if there are those houses that there are any concern, they will work with local law enforcement or federal law enforcement. They said, you need to reiterate, these are federal employees.
Uh-huh.
If you're a part-time census taker is a federal employee,
okay.
and we will work with local law enforcement and or the FBI to make sure, number one, that the enumerator is safe,
mm-hmm.
but number two, to get the count correct
yeah.
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
It's that important.
Right. Well, that's really interesting stuff.
So I know we've given a lot of information
yeah.
out there, but really, it's simple. It's 9 to 10 questions. You can do it online. You can do it over the telephone, or you can do it by paper questionnaire. It will take, I figure, somewhere between 8 and 10 minutes to complete
wow.
it.
Okay.
If you think about it hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you're done.
Uh-huh.
But it has long-lasting effects. And so our big mantra, and it's the one of the census, is, you know, you matter. Be counted.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's only, and this only takes place every 10 years.
Yeah. Right.
So the count that we get now affects everything that we've talked about for the next 10 years.
Right.
We don't have another opportunity to make it up for another 10 years.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so it's... And if, especially if you look at the growth in Iron County
right.
over the last 10 years,
yeah.
it's ridiculous in some areas. And so it's really important that we get a complete count so that we can maintain the services and maintain the critical infrastructure.
Right.
The representation.
County,
yeah,
and
the representation. And
the representation.
Yeah. I mean, $1,800 per month.
Per person per year.
Okay, no.
Well, but that's over 10 years.
But over 10 years. So that's...
Times hundreds of thousands of people.
That's so...
They figured Nevada was undercounted 30 to 35% in the last census.
Wow.
So that's a lot of money that these states aren't getting that,
yeah.
that could help them with a lot of the struggles and infrastructure
uh-huh.
and things like that that they need. Airports and transit, you know, it just goes on and on. So it's critically important that people understand this and... You know, there's going to be census parties. Some people are going to have a census festival in Salt Lake City. I mean, make it fun.
Right,
do
right.
it. Well, you can't do it for 10 more years.
Exactly.
Your little one will be 10 years old next
yeah.
time around. See? It's
crazy.
So
yeah.
it's terribly important. And they can always go to the website if they have further questions. There are hundreds and hundreds of downloads and information and frequently asked questions. But they need to go to the Utah Census website. You know, I believe it's UtahCensus2020.gov, and then there's the U.S. Census. You can just type it in, and
mm-hmm.
it'll bring up all the information.
And it's actually a fairly user-friendly website.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're on that website. There's all sorts of frequently asked questions. But if you feel like you want to have neighborhood meetings or things, there are a lot of... There's pamphlets and posters and all sorts of downloadable
yeah.
items on there that are encouraged to download and share to get
great.
That information out as well.
Okay.
So
we're working through the Interfaith Alliance. We're working through the local band of the Paiute tribe. You know, we're trying to make sure we get out there everywhere to say, you all matter. So
right.
make sure you participate in this.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I learned a whole bunch of new stuff today.
That's great.
Okay. You know I'm one of those conspiracy theorists.
I heard that about you.
I know. But I am making a commitment right now. I will fill out the census.
And your children will be happy for the future.
And if you fill it out, when you get the postcard in the mail with the user code, if you go online and just fill it out, you will never hear from the census again for another 10 years.
Nobody will come to your door.
Once you do that, you won't get the follow-up letters and follow-up postcards or eventually the guy at your door. Once you fill it out, you put it out of mind, you're done for another 10 years.
All right,
that's an incentive right there.
Absolutely.
Right. It's a whole lot easier than filing your income taxes. Let me
there
just
you
put
go.
It that way. That's for sure.
Excellent. Well, have we missed anything? Anything else you want to get on?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You guys are fabulous.
But we're here and we're available, and if people have questions or needs, they can contact us or...
Yeah.
Any of the local officials, and we'll be happy to help them out.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks for
having me. Yeah. This has been Color Country Politics, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.